deal with you, allegations of sexual molestations in schools in the Bahamas, period. Or I could have easily supported a resolution in the terms of a reference to limited to the public school. So, generally, we don't have a good record. We have a bad record, Mr. Speaker, about select committees in the House. They almost uniformly never report, and they really come about because members choose to have a debate. When I say members, I mean all of us choose to have a debate, a discussion. There may be one or two meetings of a committee, and then nobody hears anything about it afterwards. I hope that's not the fate of this committee. I hope it will work and then make a report and some recommendations. But notwithstanding that, whether it makes a report, whether it works or not, is not relevant to the point I now make. Today has caused light to be shown on an issue that afflicts and affects our society, and as a consequence of the debate today, many changes will take place in the public school system of the Bahamas. Sexual molestation, Mr. Speaker, is nothing new. And it is also nothing short of being reprehensible, and it is criminal. The case with which we deal today in this resolution is concerned with a very serious matter, and I deeply regret that some members have sought, by their rhetoric here and in the media, to reduce this serious matter to an opportunity for what they consider to be the scoring of political points. I want to assure all that there are no political points to be gained or to be made here or elsewhere in exposing and dealing with perverts who prey upon helpless children in our society. As a matter of fact, the allegation with which we are concerned today is a case that began when members opposite were in office, not while we were in office. It began in the year 2006 in terms of the allegation, but the abuse had been going on since the young man was in the sixth grade. And the earliest complaints were brought to the attention of a very senior person in the Ministry of Education in 2006 without a result. The allegations received the attention of the Ministry of Education here in Nassau, following upon my government's election to office, and the events took place in November of 2008. Still, the alleged culprit was able to depart the country before the conclusion of the investigation into the allegation by the police and before any formal charges were laid. Now, this case of 8 Mile Rock will not have been the first case of inappropriate contact between a teacher and a student in a government-operated school. There are a number of outstanding allegations against some 15 public school teachers, extending as far back as the year 2001, and there are as many as 4 such allegations that are presently before the courts, a few of which have been before the courts for quite some time without resolution. And notwithstanding our heightened attention to the danger today, it is possible that in the future some other student may be confronted by a devious teacher or other adult engaged at a school in which they are enrolled. The truth of the matter is we can't try the case of 8 Mile Rock in this place. What we can do is examine the procedures in place designed to deal with these matters, procedures meant to prevent the action, and procedures meant to assist to remedy the situation when prevention fails. And we can take careful, well-thought-out steps to improve on these procedures. We all recognize, Mr. Speaker, and acknowledge that notwithstanding procedures and safeguards, failures have occurred in the past, and we have no assurance that they will not occur again sometime in the future. The truth of the matter is that far too many people find allegations such as the one made against the teacher at 8 Mile Walk High uncomfortable, impolitic, or inappropriate for public commentary. Shove it under the carpet. Don't talk about it. Maybe it'll just go away. Now, under the misguided pretext, in my view, of protecting their children or not exposing them to ridicule or mockery, some parents and guardians fail to report suspected sexual abuse of their children to the authorities. In fact, there's at least one parent in this particular school who said she couldn't do that because she didn't want to expose her son to it. But she knew very well, for some time knew. Others report the suspect, but refuse to permit their children to testify against an abuser. Would they even come to court? While others instruct their child's identity must not be revealed. Well, it's not possible to charge someone in court without being able to say who was abused. And some people too readily assume that allegations of sexual abuse are fabrications, especially when made against someone held in high esteem in the community, such as a teacher, a preacher, or a member of parliament. We know where that attitude got the Roman Catholic Church in the United States when applied to allegations of molestation by priests. Leopards do not change their spots. Social problems and social crimes won't go away because we find them uncomfortable to talk about, or if we shift the problem from one location to another, as has happened too often in the Bahamas. I listened to the member from Anglican this morning, and she claimed that action is being taken now only because of intense public pressure. That's not so. But let me say, I do not believe that there's enough public outrage in the Bahamas about sexual abuse and sexual crime in our country. Not just regarding allegations of abuse in our schools, but in our homes and in our communities. And it is that we must commit ourselves to change.
Thank you.
How is it, Mr. Speaker, that a 62-year-old gray man can go to court in the Bahamas in April of this year, April 15th, admit to having engaged in sexual intercourse with a 5-year-old, be convicted in the Supreme Court, and sentenced to 3 years imprisonment? How is that possible? That there's no outrage in the society about it. No outrage whatsoever. Select committees and show. No outrage by the community itself. Where is the outrage in this country that we have one of the highest rates of rape in our hemisphere? From Canada to Argentina. One of the highest in our hemisphere. Where is the outrage in the Bahamas? We have much work to do. There's far too much shifting of problems in the public sector in the Bahamas, about which I now speak. Shifting and transfers is how we have traditionally dealt with problems of employees in the public sector, whether it is the drunk in the school system, or the public service, or an employee suffering from a mental disorder, or perversion. Transfer them to a new school, department or unit, in the hope that a new environment will make them shake up. The 15 people I spoke about just now, virtually all of them are still employed by the government. Still employed. Today will help to spur action. Finally, action is being taken. Also, tomorrow, the 30th of April, will probably be the first time in the Bahamas that a senior public officer will be retired from the public service of the Bahamas for acts of sexual harassment of an employee. And finally, the shifting and redeployment of teachers accused of sexual crimes against children in our schools is also going to end. And where evidence exists, I expect criminal charges to be laid against teachers who molest children. Where there is insufficient evidence to support criminal charges, disciplinary action is and will be taken against such persons. But they have no place in our schools. But it cannot be, Mr. Speaker, that it takes years and years, even when you go to court, for a case against somebody for molesting a child to be heard and determined. That cannot be right.
No.
We have to ask ourselves some hard questions. In the case of 8 Mile Rock High School, was there ever a suspicion that this teacher may have had a problem with boundaries between himself and his students early in his career in the Bahamas? How is it that a teacher thought to be a molester operated in the school system for 20 years since 1988. And each and every year, every principal of that school gave him an outstanding annual report. How is that possible?
Every year.
Didn't matter who the principal was.
Outstanding.
An outstanding teacher. Outstanding. 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 One of the boys who was molesting some very good grades in art, too. Very good grades in art. But what I've been told, Mr. Speaker, and what I've read, not only in the newspaper, but in my position as Prime Minister, there most probably are a number of other victims of this teacher, and that there are other problems at this school and some other public schools in Bahamas. You know, some people find the attachment of homosexuality to the allegation about abuse titillating and concentrate their attention only on that aspect of what is being reported. But surely, we also know that most sexual molestations involve heterosexuals in the school system and elsewhere. We cannot be willing to excuse the inappropriate behavior when it involves a male teacher and a female student, or a female student, a female teacher and a male student. Some people are concentrating their anger in this case on the fact that the allegations made against a foreign teacher, as if his foreignness is the culprit and the reason for his escape. But we know foreigners had nothing to do with, foreignness had nothing to do with the allegation. We know that some Bahamians accused of crime escape abroad to avoid detection and are consequences of their action. I've been told and I've seen reports to the effect that the molestation in this particular case took place over a number of years, from the boy who was in the 7th grade. Did no one notice a change in the behavior of this young boy in that community? Was anybody interested in noticing? At school? In church? In the community? In his home? Molested children always act out, become withdrawn, or signal in some way that something in their lives has changed and they don't know how to deal with it. Was anybody listening? What can we do to ensure that at least in our schools, someone is watching and someone is listening? information now suggests that in this case, a change in the behavior of this young man, and more than him, was indeed noticed. Noticed very much so. But little or nothing was done about it. It's important we look at this very serious matter for what it is. Devoid of all the distracting adjectives, like foreign and homosexual, and let's stop pontificating about what happened on whose watch. This is an allegation of abuse. Abuse by an individual placed in a position of authority over minor children. We are all aware that sexual molestation is a crime. Using one's position of authority to demand or win sexual favors from a subordinate, a dependent, or from anyone left in your care or custody is a crime. When the sexual favor is extracted from a minor, a child, a student left in the care of offending an adult like a teacher, the act is even more odious. We also know that we have legal obligation under the law, the Sexual Offences and Domestic Violence Act, to report suspicions of abuse of children. It was referred to this morning. Every parent, every guardian, every nurse, every teacher, every doctor has an obligation to report. It's a crime not to do so. It's a criminal offense not to report it. Lots of abuse were heaped upon the Ministry of Education this morning and before. What about those who knew?
That's right.
Who were committing the crime? What about them? No, we're not interested in talking about them. We're interested in trying to find some politician to blame. You know, the Ministry of Education has had in place a number of administrative procedures to provide guidance in relation to deal with allegations of inappropriate teacher-student relations. These rules and regulations which the Ministry of Education has had in place for years have proven to be both insufficient and inadequate in this case and in a number of other cases. With immediate effect, therefore, specific reforms meant to better govern official responses to allegations of improper teacher-student relations have been put in place in our school system. The Minister of Education spoke about some of them this morning. They are meant to provide comfort to students that allegations made by them will be taken seriously. You know, studies internationally indicate that some victims of sexual molestation, particularly children and adolescents, never overcome the insecurity and fear that result from abuse. So mad are some of these individuals that they are unable to fulfill their life goals or lead productive, happy lives. I believe, Mr. Speaker, that it was not appropriate for many officials in Grand Bahama involved in education to have not acted differently regard being had to the information which they seem to have had access to quite some time ago. This extends to a good number of people who were in positions of authority in Grand Bahama and who could have, who should have, who ought to have acted differently. No one should therefore be surprised when appropriate action is taken in respect of such persons not long from now. Mr. Speaker, from our point of view, we are happy to cooperate fully with any investigation in connection with this matter or any matter in any public school. The reality is that the government is only one part of the issue. There are many other parts. One of those parts is parents. There are far, far too many cases in this country where persons know that children are being sexually molested and or abused, and people in locus standi, in parental situations, are unwilling to talk, unwilling to speak. It is my hope that police and others in society will begin to activate the provisions in the law that now makes it a crime for such persons to not report what they know. It also, Mr. Speaker, no, to activate those provisions of the law. It is a crime. See, we have many laws on the books, but nobody has ever dared go on to a parent and say, you knew this boy was being molested, you told us he was being molested, and you did nothing about it. You refused to go to the police. When the police came to you, you refused to provide information. You committed a crime, therefore, and you are going to be charged in court and dealt with according to the law. Also, Mr. Speaker, the current position with respect to these summary offences, these offences that are tried by the magistrate's court, where it must be tried within a six-month period of the commission of the offence, is another matter we must look at in terms of amendments to the Criminal Procedure Code when it comes down to molestation of children. We ought not need an Attorney General's fiat to be able to do so. The police ought to be able to do so. Better education of all the better information ought to be provided to all the people in the public school system, especially those in administration, as to what their duty and obligations are to report these matters to the police, the social services, and the ministry, and not to ever have what happened here in 8 Mile Rock again, where things were shuffled around, known by quite a few people, no action taken. The Ministry of Education gets appointed in May of 2007. The young man involved leaves school in June of 2007, talks about being molested after he's left school, and we blame the Minister of Education in Nassau for it.
That's right.
We blame Carl Bettle, the member for Seabreeze, for this. For a young man who already left school. When the report had been made to Education in 2006 to a very senior official in the education establishment. I don't think I can say more than I've said, but I assure the committee that there's an abundance of evidence that could be made available to you upon which you can draw your own conclusions. My conclusion is that there was a disconnect between education's bureaucracy in Grand Bahama and education's establishment in Nassau, and that what was known in Grand Bahama was not known in Nassau at an appropriate early time and date. The government will support the committee, and the government will cooperate with the committee. I thank you, Mr. Speaker.